Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Good morning. And on behalf of Pastor Daniel Cazenave, welcome to the Bridge Church. I am Jason Clark. I am his brother-in-law. And we're excited to have you here. I think that this Sunday is a huge, it's often a missed Sunday for a lot of people when it comes to church life. A lot of times New Year's service is missed by a lot. But I really, truly, profoundly believe that New Year is one of the most important services that you can really attend and align yourself to God with, because you're about to start and embark on a whole new year. And for us, we use the calendar to our strength. January 1 is always the kickoff of something new for every human being. Whether it's minute or whether it's huge changes in life, New Year's is always the kickoff. Whether it's I'm going to get a gym membership, whether it's I'm going to stop this habit, I'm going to start this habit, I'm going to decrease here, I'm going to increase here. It is significant in all of our lives. No matter what we truly want to believe, we have been designed and built from us in our calendar year to say, you know what? January 1, I'm going to start. For me personally, most of you do know and some of you don't know, so I run strength and conditioning for the Marine Corps, and I have both bases, parasailing and the air station, and I run strength and conditioning for them. So for me, fitness is everything. Well, I've noticed the last 2 weeks that I have been incredibly lazy when it comes to a fitness routine, and for me, this is 20 years. This year was 20 years that I've been in a gym at least 4 days a week, and I'm looking at it on year 20 going, I haven't been to the gym once in the past 2 weeks. I'm like, what in the world? So even myself, what I say, January 1, I'm getting back on my routine again. I got to get off this lazy train that it is. But I really do believe that God has brought each and every single one of you here, including myself this morning, for something intentional. And I do believe that this message that I feel was really given this morning will speak to hearts, because I believe that for not only is it a new year, but I think that we have to look at it that it's a new year and new me, and the constant process of sanctification upon the Christian, that every year, every day should be new. Right? God is always working on us, that 2018 isn't my culminating event of my pinnacle of being a follower of Christ, that it's just the beginning, that every year is a new year, new me, new year, new me. And even I've kind of gotten into the thing where I wanted to have more of a design of what is a word. What is a word that I can live by for 2019? And I felt that for this year, for 2019, the word that kept constantly coming to me was real. Right? Was real. That 2019, real was what I'd focus on, because we're very good at creating facades in life. We're very good at creating beautiful images of what we think people, what people think we are, and what others we want them to see. But what I want people to see is the real me at all times, because I believe that was what made Jesus' ministry so profound, is because he was never hidden behind a facade or something that he wasn't. When you saw Jesus, it was who he was, whether he was eating with sinners, whether he was baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, whether he was dying on a cross, it was who Jesus was. He didn't deliver a message that he didn't preach. He delivered a message that he was living by and that he ingrained in him every day. I recently got invited right up on a split second whelm upon the Marine Corps installation. I got invited to this leadership panel, and it was just solely because of my background, because of active duty. And I said, okay, sure, I'll attend. So they sat there and they asked me, they said, please define leadership. And this is all regular civilians, just like you and me. And I said, okay. And I really felt it was a God moment that led me to this moment right here, where it just felt that God said in my heart that leadership is make sure that whatever message you're delivering, you're practicing. That whatever message you deliver, you're practicing. And I went into depth for them a little bit, that if you're getting on your employees what they look like at work, but you look awful, you're not practicing the message you're delivering. So how much do you think they really believe in the message that you're delivering? And that was what led me to say real was my word for 2019 as we come in. But this morning, we're gonna get fired up. And as you can see on the slideshow this morning, there's a picture, you can somewhat see it. I don't know if we can darken it at all, but it's the bridge. It says the bridge. And that's nothing more than the black t-shirt that my wife was wearing when she was singing up here this morning. And Daniel's wife is married also. But that picture is from my other brother-in-law, Pastor Daniel's brother, Matthew. He's currently over in Kuwait getting ready to cross the line into Afghanistan. And we want to just give a big, warm, you know, hey, and we're thinking of you and we're praying for you to all the men and women who are deployed this time of year. Because there was one point in my life where I was sitting over there during these holidays too, and it is a lonesome time. But all you that are over there, I hope you know we love you, and we appreciate what you're doing. But this morning, I'm going to open us up with just a little bit of scripture. It's not on the screen. I'm going to open us up with a little scripture. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to dive in this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Heavenly Father God, may we dive into your word this morning head first, Lord. May we just be practitioners of this message that we're listening to. May we be practitioners of the word that is in the Bible, God. May we just continue to long for your Spirit to be upon us. May we continue to long to understand the will of Christ in everything we do, God. May you continue to guide us through our moments of temptation, guide us through our moments of turmoil, God. When we reach these crossroads, Lord, may you continue to guide us down the right path, and may we choose your will every time. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for each and every person here this morning. We're thankful for those men and women who are deployed overseas, God. We're just always in debt to them as they continue to keep us safe, Heavenly Father. But again, as we dive into your word, Lord, may you just bestow upon us your Spirit. May it live and dwell in us like never before. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, new year, new me is what we're diving into. And I want you to bear with me this morning, because this message is a multiple part message. I'm going to preach from the prodigal son this morning, from Luke 15. Prodigal son is a well-known Bible story. And I'm going to preach it as we've mostly heard before, the son that has ran off. And I'm going to come back in it to look at the viewpoint of understanding that there was more happening than just a son who ran off and came back to his father. There was much more happening. And I think that when we encompass this entire story, this entire parable out of the book of Luke together, we realize that each piece can fit a different piece of us at some point in our lives, and many of us could be now. And my prayer this morning is that we come into new year to a new me, is that whatever it may be, whatever part of this message may fit us individually, that that's where we become new at. That that's where we invite change into our lives. That wherever God is speaking to us at this morning from the book of Luke, that we understand that that's where we're coming from. It's been a big week at the Clark House, Christmas week. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. And I've been on a honey-do list on Project Central at 26 Osprey Drive, but it's been a pleasure because I enjoy doing it. In fact, I even put up a couple pictures of what's been happening here at the Clark residence. So picture one, that's the wall that I had to repair. And that was, this is my wife's office here. And just kind of looking at it like, wow. Picture two is kind of where we're at right now in this process, where we got a little shiplap, new bookcase, repainting the walls and whatnot. But anyway, that ugly wall that was back there is now covered with some beautiful shiplap, and we're moving on in life. We're going to keep going into the next project till we get this done. But that's what we've been doing. And so this week was kind of fun for me, though. Sitting back, I took the whole week off work and just sat there and worked at the house and kept the kids. It was a nice little reset for me leading into this year. But we're going to pick it right up here in Luke. We're going into chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't have an app on your phone, feel free to look at the screen behind me, as the words will be there. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs." So from extreme wealth to feeding pigs. Verse 16. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So not only did he go from rich to feeding pigs, but he was also trying to eat what the pigs were eating at this point in time. Pretty interesting life story so far for him. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like the one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Verse 21, the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The parable of the prodigal son, which is most of us know it as, and prodigal, understand the meaning of prodigal, which is reckless, but not only reckless, it means reckless with money. But in the New International Version, they take away the word prodigal and they call it the lost son, because lost may be even a better description there, because not only was he squandering his money away, he was squandering his life away. Every bit of him was gone. And we have this story here where two brothers and their father, their dad, and one shoots off to his own path. Right? He's going to do his own thing. He's going to figure it out in life. He's got it understood. He's got his money. He's gone. The other brother stays there and works with his dad all along. And the one brother is a highlight reel of mess ups, right? Just a highlight reel of mess ups, whether it's prostitutes, as the Bible tells us, whether it's giving up all his money, whether he went again from riches to feeding pigs, whether he went from riches to trying to eat what pigs eat, right? Squandered it all away. It was all gone. But lo and behold, he came to his senses one day and said, this is not it. I've got to go back home to the father. And he went, and the father sees him coming. And his father embraces him, welcomes him home, and all he does is show him unconditional love. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful story in many points. And you could probably teach for months on just the parable of the lost son alone. But the one thing that stands out to me first and foremost is there was no limited love in this story. Love was not limited based on actions in this story, right? And we're going to tie back into that later on. But I think that, and it's not up there on a slide, you're not going to see it as point number one or point number two, but I truly believe that even coming into a new year is to realize that God's love was not limited upon people's actions. God did not say, I love you unless you do, and I don't love you again. And we're going to even get into what God talked about. He hated as sin, but he still loved. Didn't love the action, but he loved the individual. He didn't love the result, but he loved the individual. And that so speaks volumes to our hearts, right? Because many times we can separate who we love and who we don't love based on the highlight reel, right? As the son has gone off with prostitutes, spending all his life savings, eating with pigs, trying to eat what the pigs eat, take care of pigs, right? It's a highlight reel of, my gosh, what has become of you in your life, right? A highlight reel of just disgust. And here's the brother who just stayed at home, right? The good son who didn't do anything wrong. He's just there. He's the good son. But as we come back into the second half of this message, I think it's what we miss from the whole story is that the other son had just as many problems. He just did really good at hiding it, right? And that's the difference in sin. As we move on here, I want you to just think about these 3 points of this message, and we're going to kind of dive into the second part. But even the parable of the lost son, there's certain things that we should never forget. Number one, our Father is always there. That the Heavenly Father is always there for us, through thick, through thin, through bad, through good, through the worst decisions of your life to the best decisions of your life, the Heavenly Father is there. Through the worst moments of the lowest lows to the highest highs of Mount Everest, the Heavenly Father is always there. He never leaves our side. And it's so often we get turned and so many people run the other way, just like the young son, they have to figure out life on their own. That no matter what, they're going to figure it out on their own, no matter how many times you tell them, no matter how many times friends tell them that that's not what they should be doing. He's bad for you. She's bad for you. Don't do that. Don't do this. You still got to figure it out on your own. But the Heavenly Father is still there. Unconditional love. Unconditional love, not based on any condition whatsoever. Our Heavenly Father is there. But not only is God of love, but number two, our actions do have consequences. To understand that, yes, God is a God of love, and He loves each and every single one of us, but to believe that we could live a life full of sin without consequences would be crazy. To believe that God will not hold us liable for what we have done is not of God. God loves us. God does not love all of our actions. and there are consequences for our actions. Even King David, in all his great and all his sin, his son was punished for his actions, and he was killed. Our sin, our actions has consequences, and we must never forget, though, that this is not God who has done this to us. This is us who has done this to ourselves. God did not give this to me. I gave it to myself. One of the most clearest points of my life was when I came to terms with God has never bestowed upon me something awful. Even if I read scripture, I have to believe and I have to understand my actions in my life will have consequences. And I have seen some, and I'm sure there are some that are still out there that I will have to answer to. That's life. But what I know is, going back to number one, the Heavenly Father is still there and he still loves me. And through all that I may deal with, he's still the constant. And he's still the grace and mercy that runs down from him. And his love is what's bestowed upon me to bestow upon other people. Number three, we have to understand that in this process and in this story, we must confess and repent for our sins. We are called to confess and repent for our sins. And we're going to come into this part two, but I'm going to stick right there. Number three, we must confess and repent for our sins to understand that God knows what each of us have done. That we don't get to put up a wall on part of it to say God can see all but this that I'm doing right here, right? And repentance for a sin is not, God, I'm sorry I did it, and you walk out the door to do it again. That's not repentance. That's trying to get right real quick. That's where we try to hide, right? We try to look good. We want to make sure everybody, that if someone sees me, I am definitely praying and I am definitely there where I'm at. On Sunday, I'm at church. But on the inside, I'm the dirtiest one of them all, right? We have to confess. We have to repent. But repentance is limited to God. We seek repentance from God. Confession is not limited to God. Confession involves God and people, as we must confess our sins to one another. Right? Because that's where healing takes place for our sin and our actions, when we get real with who we are. Because believe it or not, just as much as we're going to get into, even a King David, after a man after God's own heart, who tried to hide it better than anybody could hide it, he just had people killed so people couldn't talk about his sin was discovered. And for us to think that our sin won't be discovered is ludicrous. For us to think that our downfall won't come at some point is ludicrous. It's not to dismay to say, oh my, you better come clean now. It's to realize God's perfect life for you involves confession. It involves you speaking to God. And when you receive that love, it will open you up to speak to the people you've hurt. Because you, no matter what, going back to number two, our actions will have consequences. You can't hide from the consequences. You can't hide from God's love. So when we have these moments with God of repentance and confession, understand that the feeling that in the Holy Spirit to come to you is for you to speak to the people you've hurt. It does not mean there are not consequences when you speak to those people you have hurt. It does not mean that someone will slam a door in your face when you tell them something that you've done to them. It does not mean someone will tell you, get out of my house, when you tell them what you've done to them. But what I know is God's love makes it all right. Maybe not in your sight 100% clearly you understand what is happening. But what I know is that without God's love, without confession, without repentance, we'll never be as close as we should to our Heavenly Father. And we will always be the prodigal son on the run. And when you look at the run, and you look at the son that stayed home, it shows us these two paths, these two roads, right? The one where I'm going to stay here, I'm going to try to do it right, I'm going to try to get it right. And it shows you the other one that just took off running, far as he could run. And what did it lead to? It led to poor. It led to eating with pigs. It led to him messing within the prostitution side, which even entered into our lives. You realize that you're messing with much more than just some sin. You're messing with lifelong consequences here. You're messing around with decisions that will affect you for the life. And then the other road is the son who gets to just stay home, right? And he stayed with his father, worked in the fields like his father wanted it to him. Such a good young man. But this is where I think the parable of the lost son gets hung up at is because the brother who stayed at home wasn't staying at home because he was some righteous upbringing of a great young man who wanted to make his father proud. He was staying at home based on his own pride. He was staying at home based on his own decisions for something good to happen from him. And you say, well, how in the world could you get that out of the story? Because I'm pretty sure that when I read this story in the Bible, and it talks about, well, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. The older brother wasn't there for some righteousness of an act. The older brother was there because he wanted everything his father had. And he showed it when his brother returned home, because if there was anybody who could challenge him for everything that their father was going to give him, was his brother. And this is where I think we start looking at the pinnacle of some things that can affect each and every single one of us in the room, where some of it could be talking about us, where some of it could be talking about people we know, some of it could be inside the relationships we have in our life. But I think one of these are going to hit us, right? One of these are going to hit us, where we have the self-righteous brother who is holier than holy, right? And he is just living there with his father, making him proud of everything he does. His daddy is proud of everything he does, right? But I think he forgot the most important commandment, which is love God with all your heart and all your mind and love your neighbor the same. I don't think he quite understood everything his father was bestowing upon him. Because, see, this self-righteous act, if we're not careful, right, can present us this King David image. And if Jared, if you can, put the picture of the shiplap wall up, right? So this to me is King David, right? It's a beautiful wall that has been built, right? We've made a new wall, and whatever was behind it, I don't even know, right? Because I'm just bestowed by its beauty and this new bookshelf, right? What a great idea. And to put all these books upon it, I didn't even look at the books we had on there before I came up here. But this to me is King David, right? He looks so good. King David looks so good. And the other picture right here, I'm going to introduce another man. And this is more the prodigal son line. This reminds me of Peter, right? And the prodigal son and Peter. And you say, well, how does that remind you? Because you can see every flaw they have. Right? Every line, every minish, every dumb thing he's going to say, every action he's going to make, every choice he's going to make that it's the wrong way, you've got Peter. But the self-righteous act of hiding sin, right, it leads us back to the other one, back with the shiplap, right? Because, wow, where did it all go? It's covered behind the outward beauty, right? I mean, he prays every day, right? I mean, my gosh, what a man of God that I have found, what a woman of God I have found. And it brings me back to the word real, right? Is it real? And how are you gonna know it's real? And it may not ever come to your face where someone says something to you, but it comes to you like this, where here comes so-and-so into the picture and you become angry. You become jealous. You become prideful. This is when the exposure of sin comes out, right? Rarely is it one-on-one in a direct contact. Even if you look here, how long did he live with his father? And his father wasn't seeing these things. His father was telling him how hard he had worked for him, right? And how much I have done for him. He didn't see it, but his brother came back and he saw it. It was shown through, right? But the prodigal, back to the other one, the prodigal son, Peter, that's him. Look at all my blemishes and mistakes that I have made. Look at it all. Look at all that I am constantly messing up. But this is what I want to talk to you about, this sin, when we talk about make all things new, when we talk about it. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. It's not going to be up on the slide. I just want to read you this, and we're going to dive into it a little bit deeper this morning. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Man. And I want you to read the verse 16, the opening line. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Let me break these down into our language a little bit, right? Lust, gluttony, sloth, pride, envy, anger. These are the sins of humanity, the sins that God hates, right? But let me stick to what happens to us when we divide this prodigal and the righteous look, right? So let me go here. Flesh, lust, gluttony, and sloth, right? We can see them with our own eyes, right? We get to see all of this that happens between lust, gluttony, and sloth. But the mind and the spirit, pride, envy, anger, are often kept deep inside, behind the wall, where not too many people get to see it, right? That mind and spirit sin is very tricky because it's so easy to hide. Think about King David, right? And I was talking to my wife about this, King David and Peter, and this is why I use them. When we think about Peter, we go to something, oh, Peter denied Jesus three times, right? Peter cut a man's ear off with a sword. Peter was out of control. Peter was a sinner. And then we go to King David, a man after God's own heart. That's how we describe King David. And I'm not lying. If I ask you about David, everybody, the man who slayed Goliath, man after God's own heart. And there's no doubt that he is, and so is Peter. But let me remind you of David's life. That is, David found a woman who he was interested in, who happened to be married, who happened to get pregnant by David, who he happened to ask him to come back home and stay a night so that they would have relationship, a sexual relationship, and then he wouldn't know that she got pregnant by someone else, but he refused to stay put. So what did David do? He tried to get him drunk. That didn't work. What did he do? He had him killed. That is hiding sin. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it will do to you. You will continue to climb the pinnacle of how you can get nobody to see what's going on until you're making choices that will affect you forever. And you can't be mad at anybody but yourself. Because when we go back to point number one, the Heavenly Father is always there. Number two, there's consequences for our actions. But number three, we have to confess and we have to repent. That's where we find healing. That's where we find to make all things new. Oftentimes, I think people kind of get a little sidetracked in the make things new perspective of God's work in our lives, that we're waiting for heaven to rain down on earth, right? But understand, God is making things new as you cross into heaven, that you are a new creature on earth of spirit, but that you will see all the hate, all the murder, the despise, the pride, the unrighteousness, we will never stop seeing it. But he will make us new as we cross into heaven. And as I went back to the beginning, I said that one of these could hit each of us in this room, and I do believe that one of these can hit each of us in this room. And I'm going to come across the board on this. Maybe you are the one who's hiding sin, right? Maybe you are the one. I know firsthand in my own downfalls the effects of hiding sin. And it is so much easier to have a moment of come to Jesus and confession and repentance with the Lord your God and the people that you have affected than it is to get caught in your sin. Because when you get caught in your sin, that means the devil has got his hand in your heart pretty heavy for you to go that far. And now you're going to be battling that back and forth. Maybe that's you. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're battling today, is that you're the King David approach. I keep moving chess pieces to not have myself exposed. Maybe you're the prodigal son. Maybe you're Peter, where your sin can be put on Instagram and Facebook every day, where people can look at you and go, what in the world are you doing? And then they see you in church and they're going, what? And we're coming back to that one. Maybe you're the father who understands unconditional love, right? Those of you that have kids, your children have hurt your heart. Your children have hurt your feelings. Your children have made you angry. But your children have also loved you. And the love of a parent is through all of that. That's our Heavenly Father's love. And maybe you understand that now. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe that affects you. Maybe you're the one, though, who doesn't understand how we could love these people through all of this. How could we invite someone to come sit in the Lord's house that's living in all this sin? How could we do it? The Lord would be ashamed of me for inviting such a sinful man into his house. That's where we go so wrong. Huh? Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus met with prostitutes in the well and told him to go shout the message. This is a house of sinners. In case any of us have ever been tricked in life, church is a house of sinners. And what I mean is the people. We are sinners. We're not saints. Right? And I truly believe for us to truly show unconditional love and for us truly to make a difference in this world, we have got to understand the story of the prodigal son, that there is no level of sin, whether that person hides it real well or that person's a train wreck or whatever the case may be. Sin is sin. Our Heavenly Father is still there. You must understand you have consequences for your actions and you must confess and repent. Not only to God, God is repentance. People are confession also. Because just as we hurt God's heart, we will hurt other people's heart. But whoever, any of those people you may align with, unless you're perfect, but whoever you align with, my prayer is that you understand for us truly to see Christ's movement upon earth will take us all to understand this picture. That some hide it, some show it, but no matter what, we have to love it through. Because I want to go back as the worship team gets ready to come up. Stefan, I know I just stopped you. You're about to leave. But as the worship team comes up here, this is my prayer for this, though. Is that the love of Christ knows no limits, knows no boundaries. It doesn't know when to stop. It just continues to push through. And I truly believe when you understand that unconditional love is just not whether you're happy, you can change the world. And you can start right in your own house. And that's where change starts at, is when your house changes, it starts going out. But to understand the unconditional love, to understand that, well, I can't believe they did that to me. I don't love them anymore. What? How is that love? I can't believe that was what was done. I don't love them anymore. What? You never loved them in the first place. As bold as the statement as that is, and some of you may kick back to it to say, well, there's things that happen. No, love is beyond. Love is beyond any action that can happen to you. If you love someone, it's beyond anything that can happen to you. And I know there are some grotesque things, and I'm not saying we're even at that level of love, but God's love was beyond anything that we could have ever done to them. Because guess what? We've done it all. We broke his heart every single which way. So my prayer is that we understand that as a church of sinners, we have to go find the other sinners. Because then we go back to what I said in the beginning, a process of sanctification, where each day is new. Each day I can become more like Christ. And I get to share my story of when I was the prodigal son. I'm going to close this with this, and then I'm going to pray for you. This was near and dear to my family. And I didn't ask permission for this, but I'm going to be all right. I know it. And I don't mean my mother and father and whatnot. I had a family member who was the prodigal son. My grandfather and grandmother raised everybody in the church. And you best believe on Sunday morning in that pew of Bealeton Baptist Church, you were sitting there. And if you weren't sitting there, you were answering for something. And it better be real good, like you're at the hospital, so something's wrong that you ain't at church. That was my grandfather and my grandmother. And I love them to death for it. But I had one who was the prodigal son, and I ran with him because I was like, man, look at the freedom, right? They say go this way, he goes that way. They say be here, he says I'm going there, right? Because God's giving you this free will, he's giving you this. Go make your choices, right? But what I watched as I got older is I've kind of circled back to this a little bit because of being a parent, is that he was outcasted often. But my grandmother and grandfather, who made everybody come to church, loved him the same as they loved their other children. And I always noticed that they knew things he was doing, but it never changed who they were to him.
He would show up for a meal, sit down and eat. My grandfather would tell him how glad he was there to see him. My grandmother, oh, I love you. So good to see you. Unconditional love. I'm going to pray for us. But what I want to pray for is our heart. It's a new year. There's a new me, maybe. Find your word. What are you going to live with for 2019? Where's the change going to be? Every day should be something that we realize that, man, we could do so much more. My prayer is that we can make a movement of God through an area that needs it. That picture of that bridge shirt to me is so cool because that's the movement of God, right? That's a bridge church. It doesn't matter to me what church it said, but that's in Kuwait in the middle of a deployment. I can tell you that, 14 years ago, there wasn't no church shirt where I was deployed to, right? So I'm seeing a movement though. I am. I'm seeing movement. And that's the beauty of it all. But no matter who you fit with this morning, whether it's the prodigal son, maybe it's the older brother who does good, King David type, maybe it's Peter, you just mess up everything, your father loves you. He loves you. He wants you to be at home. But he knows you may not always be at home. We must confess, we must repent, we understand the consequence for action, and we must understand that love is bigger than anything we have. Heavenly Father God, we are thankful for the time we've had this morning inside your word, God. I just pray that as we continue to start a new year, Lord, may we continue to start something new in your name, Heavenly Father. May we show people that our love is bigger than their actions. Can we show people that just because society says that that's not okay, that we show them we love you. We love you does not mean I accept everything you do. It means I love you. God, may we feel your love in our hearts so that that love can be poured to each and every other person we ever encounter, Heavenly Father. May we continue to burn like the burning bush, God, so that people can see your love. We're thankful for the stories we read of the downfalls, the pitfalls, the highs, the lows, to realize we're not alone. And whoever we may relate to, the prodigal son, the older brother, maybe it's King David, maybe it's Peter, maybe I hide my sin, maybe my sin is out of open. Lord, I pray for every heart to open their heart and confess and repent for what they have done so that we can be real, we can be new in you. God, as we stand and we get ready to worship with you, may our hearts go there, Heavenly Father. May our hearts go to the Spirit to talk to us. Tell us where we need change inside, God. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity just to speak out of your word, God. May we never take it for granted what that means. And I pray for all those who don't have a church home yet, who don't have a Heavenly Father yet. May we seek them out and bring them to you so that you may run again and meet them with open arms. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.